Lenten season, our theme is Conqueror, Overcomers with Christ. Because humanity have been overcome by sin, division, and death, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came to share in our humanity in all things but sin, came to overcome sin and death for us. And so as we live in union with him within his church, we can be overcomers with Christ. We can experience the fruits of his victory, not only in heaven, but on earth as well. And so during the Sundays of Lent, I'm looking at aspects of that victory. Last Sunday, I spoke about overcoming temptation with Christ, and we can do so following his example, knowing who God is and knowing who we are in relationship with God. It's important for us to spend our time wisely here on earth, for this time on earth is but a moment in view of eternity, and God invites us to choose wisely. Indeed, Lent is 40 days, but it's very quick. On the first Sunday of April, we will observe Palm Sunday, and the second Sunday of April, Easter Sunday. So we need to use this time wisely, for Lent is a time for growing as disciples of the Lord Jesus within his church, not only during the season of Lent, but then afterwards as well. Use the opportunities that are provided here in our parish to observe a holy Lent. But in looking at overcoming temptation, there are times in which we have forgotten who God is, and we have forgotten our relationship with God. We did not overcome temptation. Temptation overcame us. But we do not give up, because the Lord Jesus overcame sin and death for us. And when we repent, he offers the forgiveness of our sins, particularly in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, confession. And again, there are expanded times for confession here at HFC, but also in the area parishes, if you don't want to come to me, which is fine. But in the sacrament, the Lord Jesus Christ comes personally to us, just like he does in Holy Communion. But in this case, to cleanse us of the sins we have remembered and the sins we could not remember. He gives us a clean start to continue as his beloved disciples within his church. But sometimes when we hear the prayer of absolution offered by the priest, we have a sneaking suspicion that we may be back again saying the same sins again. And that is why the subject for this Sunday is overcoming fear of failing in discipleship. Because we can be lured into settling for a compromise, saying God knows our hearts, and so we just don't have to grow. We just have to settle for doing the same sins over and over again, instead of listening to the Lord, who tells us over and over again to use the strength that comes from him to overcome sin. But the enemy can use that struggle with sin and temptation to say that we will fail as disciples or followers of the Lord Jesus. And we see that in the discipleship of the Apostle Peter in today's gospel reading. But we need to understand the context first. In Matthew chapter 16, the gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 17. But in Matthew chapter 16, about 6 days before the transfiguration of the Lord, the account we heard today, Jesus asks his apostles, "Who do the people say that I am?" And the apostles gave the different opinions of the crowd. And then Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" Underscoring that the apostles should not give credence to all the fickle voices in the crowd, but to accept what the faithful God in Christ has revealed to them. And Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the anointed one, the Son of God." And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, whose name was Simon at the time, "Simon, You did not say this on your own accord. You received what God has revealed to you, and you boldly confessed your faith in that. I want to give you a new name. I want to tell you who you are. You are Peter. You are Kepha in the Aramaic, meaning rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld or hell will not prevail against it. Peter probably felt pretty good at that time in terms of what had happened. He's now the chief apostle. He cooperated with God's grace. He made a bold confession of faith in the Lord as the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then Jesus talked about what it meant to be the Christ. He knew his apostles needed to take the time to understand what it meant. So he didn't want them to tell people that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God yet. They needed to understand, how is he the anointed one of God? Why did he come into the world? He came as a servant of humanity to heal the wounds of sin, division, and death. And he was going to do it through his teaching and example that would lead to the cross, him being crucified on it and die on the cross, but on the third day after his death, rise from the dead. And so Jesus said, this is what is about to happen to me. And Peter pulled him aside and rebuked Jesus, had the audacity to attempt to correct Jesus, and said that what Jesus has said was nonsense. And Jesus responded to Peter in front of the other disciples, rebuked, correct Peter, and said, get behind me, Satan. Peter had put himself in front of the Lord, attempting to equal himself to the Lord, which is what the rebellious Satan tried to do, but became a fallen angel as a result. Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking as human beings do, not as God does. So Jesus had called Peter the rock. Now he was being a stumbling block. But Peter repented. He had failed in his discipleship, and he got behind the Lord, because the posture of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is to let the Lord lead, to listen to his teaching, and to follow in the Lord's footsteps. And then Peter heard Jesus say, if you want to follow me, you will have to deny yourself, deny that you're at the center of your life, but that God is. You need to pick up your cross with me and follow me. There was no immediate response to that from Peter or any of the disciples. They needed time to think about that. But again, Peter was thinking about it, but he was thinking about how he would probably fail again in taking up the cross. And so this is the context in which the Lord Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain. Now, it's obvious Peter's the chief apostle. Not sure why James and John came along. Maybe those three would be the most influential among all of the apostles. But he takes them up on the mountain, and Jesus is transfigured in the sight of these three apostles. Jesus knows he's God. The transfiguration was a grace from God to show the disciples the glory of God dwelling in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they saw Moses and Elijah on either side of the Lord Jesus, and they were conversing with each other. Moses, who is attributed to authoring the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, the law, and Elijah, one of the prophets. And God was showing that what Jesus had predicted would happen in his ministry and his passion, death, and resurrection was foretold in the law and the prophets. But again, Peter didn't want to take the time to understand that. He was so enthralled with what had happened, but he was also fearing that he would fail in his discipleship. For the Lord said he would have to pick up his cross and follow the Lord. He said, Lord, it's good to be here. Why don't we stay up on this mountain? Avoid all this cross-carrying talk. And stay right here. And if you will, I'd like to build you a booth, and not only for you, but for Moses and Elijah. Once again, Peter was trying to put himself ahead of Jesus. And then Peter once again had to be corrected, but now it's by God the Father. The voice from the heavens came, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That same voice had come when came when Jesus was baptized by St. John the Baptist. But now on the Mount of Transfiguration, after Peter says, "Let's avoid all this cross-carrying talk. Let's stay right here on this mountain." God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Stop trying to hear what you want to hear from Jesus. Stop trying to have Jesus conform to you, Peter, and conform your life to Jesus. Peter was afraid of the cross. Who wants to carry a cross anyway? I've said to this congregation many times that we can see the cross in three ways. First of all, conversion. Why did Jesus have to suffer and die? To take away our sins through his obedience to the Father, which overcomes our disobedience to the Father. Conversion is a part of the cross. We're called to die to the invitation to sin, to renounce sin. That's what we're going to do when we renew our baptismal promises at Easter. Before we reaffirm our belief in God, who calls us to follow him within the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, we will renounce sin and we will refuse to have sin have mastery over us. And so, conversion means taking up our cross and following the Lord, to put sin to death in our lives. And if we say we can't do it, you are setting yourself not to be able to do it, but God says you can. And when we follow Jesus, we agree with God and we conform our lives to God. And then we make sacrifices to do that, such as the traditional Lenten disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which is really disciplines for Christian living during every season of life. Conversion is a way to take up the cross with Christ. Circumstances are another cross experience that not necessarily due to sin. When one suffers infirmity or illness, it's not because of personal sin. When one is a caregiver for someone suffering infirmity or illness, is not due to sin. Sometimes it's sin when we're dealing with family conflict and whatnot. Sometimes we're dealing with the consequences of bad choices made by others, but we have to suffer the consequences because choices have consequences not only for ourselves, but our network of relationships. And what we're called to do in these circumstances is to remain faithful to the Lord, to resist the temptation of the enemy that says, "Well, see what happened to you? You're trying to be faithful to God and all this mess has happened. Why should you even strive to be faithful?" But cross-carrying means I will be faithful and I will continue to integrate the teachings of Christ into my life and apply it to every circumstance of my life, and I will be patient as I do so. I will take up my cross and follow Christ. I take up my cross when I'm undergoing conversion, when I'm dealing with circumstances. I pick up my cross when I'm dealing with conflict. There's going to be a clash if we're trying to integrate the teachings of Christ into our lives. And those values that the Lord Jesus gives us comes into conflict with the values that the world deems to be important. But we should cooperate with the love and mercy of God to say, "I stand up for my faith. I'm not going to be cowering when people criticize." My goodness, there were many critics of Jesus. Jesus is secure in his identity. He's steadfast in his mission, and he wants his followers to do the same. I will pick up the cross with Christ in the midst of conflict precisely because I believe in Christ and belong to his church, and I want to bless our communities. Not easy to carry the cross, but that's what we're called to do. You know, we talk about we want uplifting worship. I want uplifting worship. I hope you're uplifted by worship here. It begins with one's attitude before one even walks in here, not necessarily the atmosphere that is here. And we're going to expand the music repertoire and things like that. But we can expand the music repertoire, but we have to have the right attitude to come in here if we're going to have uplifting worship. Maybe sometimes, you know, you see other churches and it seems exciting and people are lifting up their hands saying that they're surrendering to God. It's nice to lift up one's hands, but Jesus wants us to lift up the cross and carry it. Not always thrilling to do. Gets heavy at times. That's true worship as well. Easy to put one's hands up on Sunday. Hard to pick up the cross Sunday through the next Sunday. But that's what Jesus calls us to do. So Peter is afraid of failing, and he wants to stay on the mountain. And we are afraid of failing, and we want to settle for a compromise and not give ourselves wholeheartedly and think God will just understand. But what God understands is that Christ has come into the world and he now dwells within us. And in his love, he gives of himself wholeheartedly. And he invites us to give ourselves wholeheartedly. But Peter, James, and John respond to the voice of the Father, not with the fear of the Lord, which is what we heard in the responsorial psalm today. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. And in that case, we're talking about having awe and reverence in the presence of God. They fell prostrate, which usually is an act of worship to God. But the gospel says they fell prostrate. They lay flat on their faces because they were fearful, meaning not in awe of God. They were afraid. And even though God had allowed the transfiguration to happen to say, if you bear the cross, there's a glorious destination to reach. Just as God had tried to break down their fears and to build up their faith, they fell flat on their faces, afraid that they would not be able to walk in the footsteps of Jesus totally. And sometimes we may feel that way when we have failed in the past. I'm not going to make it. I confess the same sins over and over again. What is the use? I might as well just settle for that as my Christian life. And Jesus did not die on the cross and rise from the dead for us to settle for that. And that is not the voice of God. Why? How do I know that? Because in the gospel reading, as Peter, James, and John lay on the ground, afraid, Jesus touches them and says, rise and do not be afraid. And notice in the gospel reading that while they're lying down in fear, they don't even call on Jesus to help them. Jesus takes the initiative to touch them and to invite them to rise and do not be afraid. You can make this journey with me, but the key is with me. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God, as we heard in the second reading today. And as Jesus touches us, as we give time to pray, as Jesus touches us, as we read the word of God, as Jesus touches us, as we tangibly encounter him in the sacraments, as Jesus touches us by giving us the example of the saints who have already gone to heaven, and if God worked in them, God can work through us. As Jesus touches us through periods of service to others in his name, as Jesus touches us by gathering us together as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us, Jesus touches us and says, rise, do not be afraid. You can overcome the fear of failing in discipleship by taking on the strength that comes from God. And so I invite us this week to consider What are you going to spend your time on? You're going to spend your time on fearing that you'll fail in discipleship and lay flat on the ground in fear, not willing to get back up and walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Or are you and I going to allow Jesus to touch us and hear the words, "Rise and do not be afraid"? For God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And God the Father says to us through holy baptism, "In Christ, you are my beloved sons and daughters, in whom I am well pleased. You will overcome fear of failing in discipleship if you listen to Jesus and live according to what he says."